Thank you. We're joined, as usual, by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone.
And we're pleased to welcome back the governor of Rhode Island, Gina Raimondo. Welcome back, Governor.
Good morning, Ian. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. Governor, let's start with your proposal to give Rhode Islanders 2 years of free tuition at CCRI, RIC, or URI. State lawmakers have a lot of questions about your plan. So are you going to go to the wall in pushing for your precise version of the free tuition proposal, or are you open to some changes here?
Well, I am going to go to the wall for a robust version of what I've proposed, because too many families are struggling with the bills of college. And too many students, especially at Rhode Island College, aren't graduating because they're working two or three jobs, and eventually they give up and drop out. As I've shown with everything I've ever done, Medicaid, pensions, roadworks, there is always reason. I always compromise to get it done, and this will be no different. But we need a real plan, because it's time that we do this.
All right, let's go to Maureen.
The great thing about this plan is that students have skin in the game, that they really have to perform. Not in high school, because we need to stress the fact that 4,000 people just can't go to URI. They've got to get in. So they've got to be able to get in. They've got to maintain grades. Then they get the free tuition. And I think that will help with retention and help them keep their studies up, because they won't have to work as much, obviously. And they'll get out in maybe 5 years. We have a huge problem at URI with students who are still 6 and 7 years and they haven't graduated.
It is so true. So, and I agree with what you said. So in order to get the scholarship, you have to go full time. You have to go take a full course load, go full time, because we know if you go full time, you're more likely to graduate. You have to keep up a certain grade point average. And you have to have skin in the game. First of all, you have to pay for the first 2 years. And let's be honest, I mean, you talk to kids today, it's expensive to buy books, it's expensive to, you know, live and room and board and everything that they need. So they're going to have plenty of skin in the game. But right now, we taxpayers spend a lot of money on URI, CCRI, and RIC, and too many people are dropping out. So they wind up with no degree, no job, and debt. It's not working for anybody.
Governor, I think it's a fantastic idea, but there has been some pushback. And some people say this is more free stuff from the government. Other people say that you institute this and it's not going to be sustainable. Now, I know some of these accusations are mere politics, Mayor Fung and such, and Republican leaders. So I understand that. But it is a new government program. And how do you know that it can be sustainable after you're no longer with us? And I mean, you know, in office.
12th grade is just a random cutoff. You know, what if I said to you, OK, we're running out of money, so let's stop high school in 10th grade. Everybody has to pay for 11 and 12. 12th grade was decided at a time in America when it made sense because you could get a job with a 12th grade education. We have to update that. You know, like when I was a kid, everyone went to half day kindergarten. And there really was no such thing as public pre-K. But we realized you need full day K. You need pre-K. I just think it's the right thing to do. Every state will probably follow us. As for the affordability, it's a drop in the bucket. It's less than 1% of our budget.
All right, let's look at some other news this week. We're only 3 weeks into January, and charges have been brought against three former state reps in three separate cases, including former House Finance Chairman Ray Gallison, who has agreed to plead guilty. Governor, would this highlight the need for some sort of independent panel or commission to look at why Rhode Island continues to face these kinds of outbreaks of bad behavior by public officials?
Oh, it's certainly time to take more action. You know, I am as frankly disgusted and frustrated and disappointed as every Rhode Islander who picks up the paper and reads, yet again, we have these problems. By far, it's not everyone, but it's too many.
What action would you recommend?
So I'm trying to figure it out right now. You know, I do want to make some proposals to the legislature to figure out what we can do to give Rhode Islanders more confidence in government. That's what this is about, confidence.
Can't we audit everyone's campaign finance reports?
That's something we're looking at. Something we're looking at, possibly. You know, you gotta have the staff to do it.
A random audit like the IRS, so you don't know if they're coming after you or not.
We're looking at various options, because I do think people deserve us to take some action.
As far as, you know, Carnevale, That might have slipped by the boards, the fact that he wasn't in the same district if we hadn't found it out. You start putting some of these old cronies with very different standards of what good behavior is, acceptable behavior, that have been skimming along for years. Mm. You put them in jail, that sends a very, very different message.
You Maureen, go they've been going them. To jail for 50 years.
But the thing is, I think there's a change here if you put enough of these people. That's a big deal because it changes the culture.
Hasn't so far.
One other big issue facing the state is the car tax. Governor, you have a proposal that would cut the assessed value of cars by 30%. The give back for taxpayers would not be until the fiscal year starting in July 2018. Speaker Mattiello wants to do something for the budget year starting in July 2017. Will that have too much of an upsetting effect on your budget proposal if House lawmakers grab about $40 million in tax relief?
You know, again, this is a negotiation. The good news is we are all on board to cut the car tax. And I am excited to work with the legislature to do that because it's too high. It hurts the people who can least afford it. And the reason I made the proposal I did is I think it's fair. Everybody gets a cut. Everybody gets the same cut. And I constantly hear from people, Governor, why do you tax me on the value of a car when I know my car is not worth that? I couldn't sell it for that. So why are you tacking that? So that's why I put forth what I did. It's a real cut. With respect to the timing, I did talk to a lot of the mayors before putting in my proposal. The way this works is by the time we pass the state budget this year, they will have already sent out their car tax bills. So that's administratively a lot easier if you just wait a year. Doesn't mean you can't do it this year, but it's not as simple as it might sound.
Would you be willing to say you're going to eliminate it? To go along with the Mattiello plan, it's gone. I mean, wouldn't that be the best?
Well, it's $200 million.
Over a long period?
No, every year. Once you're there, it's
$215 million.
In fact, you've said that you think that it would be too onerous for the state to eliminate that because it is such a heavy hit every year.
Yeah, I haven't yet seen a plan which would convince me that it's sustainable and responsible and doable. And you have to remember, we tried this before. It wasn't that long ago we tried to get rid of the car tax. Virginia has tried this. Connecticut has tried this. And every time a state says we're going to eliminate it and send all the money to cities and towns, they pretty quickly realize it's unaffordable. So I don't want to do something that we have to unwind. So if I see a plan, it's doable, it's affordable and sustainable, of course, everyone
because
wants
it's a rollout.
How about making it fairer? For instance, one of the problems now is it's so unfair.
Yes.
People in these wealthy towns like Little Compton, Block Island, they don't pay anything compared to the Pawtuckets and Central Falls. Massachusetts has a statewide limit of $25 per thousand. How about an approach like that?
Again, I'd be open to it. I'm open. As I said from the beginning, there's a lot of ways to skin this cat, and we're just beginning the process. And I give the speaker credit for coming out and saying, you know, let's do something. Let's get something done. But it's got to be affordable. I mean, you're saying to me, oh, where are we going to find $30 million to be the first state in the country to have everyone go to college? That is a drop in the bucket relative to $215 million. So,
at the back end.
Yeah, but it's every year.
Yeah.
It'd be every year we'd have to find that money.
I have to stop you there, Governor, because we're out of time. Thanks for joining us on Roundtable. Scott.
Great to be here.
Maureen.
Thank you.
And Governor Gina Raimondo.
Go Pats.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage.
Major funding for Political Roundtable is provided by the Rhode Island Foundation, using philanthropy to move Rhode Island forward. Details at RhodeIslandFoundation.org.